Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Sunday, first class, 24 August, 2025, Romans.
All right, before we get started, we have a birthday. Sherry has a birthday on Tuesday. Happy birthday to you. And we have a teacher's meeting after the second class today. So don't forget. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. We are in one of the most unique passages in the New Testament scriptures. The three groans. In preparation to worship our Lord this morning, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, for the privilege we have this morning of fellowshipping with you through the study of your word. And as we do so, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Romans 8, verses 19 to 27. We have illustrations of undeserved suffering for blessing. Undeserved suffering for blessing. Now, in the Word of God, there are two major categories for suffering. There is deserved suffering. That's not what we have here. Deserved suffering is punitive suffering. It's God spanking us because we're making bad decisions. We're out of fellowship with God. We're living our life by the lust patterns of the sin nature. We're living in Satan's cosmic system. And we're on the way to crash and burn. God doesn't want you to crash and burn. So he spanks you. Just like my father did. When we would play out in the street, they would grab us, Dad pull us and spank us. I was given a dog when I was a little tyke. I don't even remember the dog. It ran out in the street, got run over by a car, killed. And I cried and cried and cried and cried and cried and cried. That's all I... And my mother said, we're never getting another dog till we move to the country. And I got excited, a hope. We might move to the country. I said, how many dogs can I have? As many as you want. Let's get going. Let's make that move. But when We were out running when the cars are coming down. We got spanked. Why? Dad didn't want to see us run over and killed. And our Heavenly Father doesn't want to see you crash and burn. And there, unfortunately today, there are a lot of Christians that are under suffering, but it's deserved suffering. It's punitive suffering. It's God spanking them. And this is described beautifully in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 5 through 11, and we've seen that many, many times. So that's deserved suffering or punitive suffering, but that's not what we have here. That's not what we have here. There is also undeserved suffering. Undeserved suffering. And the great illustration of undeserved suffering is our Lord Jesus Christ. At the first advent, on that very first Christmas, he took on true humanity through the incarnation and virgin birth. And he had a ministry here. His mission was to go to a cross and solve the world problem of sin. And our Lord Jesus Christ received lots and lots of suffering. But he was impeccable. He was sinless perfection. He didn't even commit one sin. And yet he was laughed at, mocked, ridiculed, spat upon, thorns crushed on his head. He was beaten to the point his closest friends couldn't even recognize him. He had to carry his own cross to Golgotha, and then he was crucified. All of that was undeserved suffering. Undeserved suffering. And that's what the winner believer, the believer who makes good decisions, the believer who fulfills the mandate, keep on being empowered by God the Holy Spirit. Grow up in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as you do that, you advance to spiritual maturity. When you advance to spiritual maturity, you have virtue, love brought to completion in your heart. That means you have personal love for God the Father. You have personal love for God the Son, Jesus Christ. You love the Lord Jesus Christ with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And you now qualify for undeserved suffering, for blessing. Now you get to walk in the steps of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who had undeserved suffering. This is a special category of suffering for winner believers only. And it's one of the greatest privileges and greatest honors you could ever have in the short time while you're here. One of the greatest honors could be given to you is that God gives you the mantle of undeserved suffering for blessing to wear because you are glorifying Him to the maximum. And now you get the chance to glorify Him in times of suffering as well as in times of prosperity. That's what we have here. Undeserved suffering. And it's illustrated in three groans. The first illustration of undeserved suffering is the groan of nature. And that is Romans 8, verses 19 to 22, which sounds like this in corrected translation. For the confident expectation of creation or nature op ek dekomai, waits eagerly. Here's creation, nature, waiting eagerly for the revealing of the sons of God. Now, who are the sons of God? You are. Church age saints, the church, the royal family of God, we're the sons of God. Jesus Christ will come back to this earth at the second advent. When he comes back, he's the groom. We're the bride. So we come back, that's the revealing of the sons of God. He establishes his kingdom on earth, 1,000-year millennial kingdom. Perfect environment, and that's the 1,000-year wedding supper of the Lamb for 1,000 years. And creation is waiting eagerly for the revealing of the sons of God at the second advent of Jesus Christ. For the creation was subjected to futility. When? At the fall of man, Genesis chapter 3, when Adam fell. Against its own will, undeserved suffering for creation. But because of the one, God the Father, who has subordinated it, nature, on the basis of the hope, the absolute confidence of the second advent and revealing of the sons of God, the millennial kingdom. Therefore, even the material universe, nature, will also be set free from corrupting slavery and brought safely into the glorious freedom of the children of God. For we have learned Bible doctrine in the past with the result that we know Bible doctrine now in the present, namely, that the entire realm of nature groans together with us and suffers the pains of childbirth with us until now. That's the first groan. Undeserved suffering that nature came under as a result of the fall of man in Genesis 3. Then the second category of undeserved suffering for blessing here is the groan of the spiritually mature believer. Verses 23 to 25. And not only this, that is the groaning of nature in verse 22, but also we ourselves, spiritually mature believers, possessing the first fruits of the Spirit. That's the down payment, the guarantee from God the Holy Spirit. Even as we ourselves groan within ourselves, there's our word again, apekdekomai, waiting eagerly for our adoption. What adoption is that? Namely, the redemption of our body. When does that take place? At the rapture, the resurrection, when we receive our resurrection body. For with reference to that future hope, the resurrection, at the rapture, the judgment seat of Christ, where these greater grace blessings are poured out and given to us, crowns and rewards for the winner believer. We have been saved. Now, when a hope is seen, it's not a hope. So then, who hopes for what he sees? But if we, spiritually mature believers, have confident expectation for what we do not see, greater grace blessings waiting for us for all eternity, first class condition, and we do, then by means of perseverance in times of undeserved suffering for blessing, we apekdekomai, we wait eagerly for it. Well, that's the second category of undeserved suffering for blessing. Now the third groan, we are right in the middle of studying the third groan. And this just blows me away. How awesome and how fantastic is this, the third groan? The groan of the Holy Spirit, Romans 8, 26 and 27. We've exegeted verse 26. It sounds like this. And in the same way, the Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, also helps, and this is a very special word. It means to come to the aid of the spiritually mature believer in times of intense undeserved suffering. He himself, the Spirit, gives a helping hand to our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we should. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too great for words. The key word here is huper en tunkano. Huper en tunkano. I got to do a little better job than that. There, see, some of you said, whoa. Huper en tunkano, H-U-P-E-R-E-N-T-U, two gammas together, the first one transliterated as an N, C-H-A-N, long O, huper en tunkano. This is a hapax legomenon. It's the only time that this verb is found in the New Testament scriptures. It's not found in the Septuagint or other Greek versions of the Old Testament, including the Apocrypha. It's not in Greek writers before the Christian era. So what does this word mean? It means to intercede on behalf of others. Specifically, to intercede on behalf of spiritually mature believers when they are going through intense, undeserved suffering for blessing. This is the intercessory ministry of God the Holy Spirit on behalf of the spiritually mature believer in his times of intensified, undeserved suffering. This intercessory ministry is described as two words in the Greek, stenogmos, alaletos. Stenogmos is the word to groan. Now, God the Holy Spirit doesn't groan, but this is an anthropopathism to communicate in our human terminology what is going on here. So this is an anthropopathism. God the Holy Spirit is describing the ministry of intercessory prayer that the Holy Spirit offers on behalf of the spiritually mature believer facing intensified undeserved suffering. The Holy Spirit takes over the ministry of intercessory prayer for those circumstances that are beyond the winner believer's control. So important is prayer in the plan of God, that God the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, makes intercession for the winner believer in times of intense, undeserved suffering. Alaletos, the other word, is also a hapax legomenon. It's the only time that this word is found in the New Testament scriptures. It's not found in the Septuagint or other Greek versions of the Old Testament, including the Apocrypha, and it is not in Greek writers before the Christian era. Alaletos means wordless, wordless, unexpressed, unutterable. Stenogmos alaletos means with wordless groans or with groanings too great for words. This ministry of intercessory prayer by God the Holy Spirit on behalf of the spiritually mature believer in undeserved suffering is dramatized by the anthropopathism of groaning. The Apostle Paul is putting the spotlight on this fantastic ministry of God the Holy Spirit, who takes our hand in times of intense undeserved suffering and offers intercessory prayer for us. How great is our God? Our God is the greatest. He is the living and true God. He's the God of grace. And this is just absolutely fantastic. And in the time I've been here, and maybe I've been here too long, I have seen the most wonderful and fantastic winner believers in this congregation. Fantastic winner believers. And I've seen them, they qualified to wear the mantle of undeserved suffering for blessing. And I saw them honor God and glorify God as they went through that fantastic undeserved suffering for blessing. And there were times when they were out, not in control of and cognizant of even being able to pray properly. But God the Holy Spirit had their hand, and God the Holy Spirit was praying for them, that that intensified, undeserved suffering would become fantastic blessing. And it has. Fantastic blessing. Because on the other side, they're now absent from the body and face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ. And they have crowns and rewards, the most fantastic greater grace blessing for all eternity that will be awarded to them at the judgment seat of Christ. Some of you don't even have never met some of those people. Some of you have known some, not all. They are the best of the best. They are winner believers. Only the spiritually mature believer qualifies for undeserved suffering for blessing. Only the winner believer. And I hope you all qualify. I hope you all do. It's a great privilege. It's a great honor to glorify God in times of suffering as well as in times of prosperity, of glorifying God in bad health, in times of great health. That's undeserved suffering for blessing. Only for the best of the best. Of all the greater grace blessings and the greater grace blessing package, this is the greatest of all. The privilege of glorifying God in times of suffering as well as in times of good health. So God, the Apostle Paul, is putting the spotlight on the fantastic ministry of God the Holy Spirit, who takes over and takes our hand in times of intense undeserved suffering, and then he offers intercessory prayer for us. And one thing about it, when God the Holy Spirit prays, his prayers are answered 100%. 100%. God's plan is greater than any suffering, any adversity, any catastrophe of life. When undeserved suffering causes a breakdown in the spiritually mature believer's prayers with God, then the Holy Spirit steps in with the exact right perfect prayer. Prayer is so important in the plan of God that God the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, makes intercession for the winner believer when he is unable to pray effectively because of intense, undeserved suffering. God the Holy Spirit makes intercession for the spiritually mature believer in order to convert his undeserved suffering into great, great blessing. Undeserved suffering motivates the winner believer to focus his eyes on those fantastic greater grace blessings waiting for him for all eternity that will be awarded at the judgment seat of Christ. The groans of the Holy Spirit are far beyond human comprehension. The Holy Spirit's ministry of intercession is far beyond man's use of words and sentences in prayer. The greatest prayer of all is prayed by God the Holy Spirit and it is prayed without the use of human words. It is groanings too great for words. The great prayers of winner believers are offered with precise, accurate human words and vocabulary. But there is something even beyond prayers with words, and that is the intercessory ministry of God the Holy Spirit praying for the winner believer as he goes through intense, undeserved suffering. The prayer of God the Holy Spirit are answered 100%. And the undeserved suffering that the winner believer is going through is converted into the greatest blessing. Only God the Holy Spirit can offer prayer that turns undeserved suffering into blessing for the winner believer. That's what we have in groan number three. Groan number three, like I said, blows me away. How magnificent our God is. Now, we've only gone halfway through this groan. Verse 27. And he that searcheth the hearts. We have the post-positive conjunction de plus the articular present active participle of erauna'o, plus the accusative plural of cardia with the definite article. The postpositive conjunction de is the transitional use of de, and it may be translated and, moreover, then, now we'll translate it and then the verb erauna'o. Erauna'o. E-R-A-U-N-A, long O, erauna'o. A couple of things on this verb. First of all, it means to search. It means to search. It means to examine. It means to investigate something completely, thoroughly. To search, examine, investigate something completely, thoroughly. Now, what is God the Father examining? Our hearts. Your heart. My heart. You can fool a lot of people. You can fool me. Anybody can fool me. I've been fooled so many times, but people came in here. April Fool's Day comes around. Somebody comes up and tells me something. I believe it. I believe there was a guy from Nepal, somewhere in there. And he was now a pitcher for the New York Mets, and he could throw the ball 200 miles an hour. And not only did I believe it, but my head deacon, Rick Penkel, believed it, and he goes, damn! Would be those lousy Mets that'd get that pitcher, not the Cubs, you know. And we both believed it. And then I'm telling the congregation about it, and the guy that told me about it is out there going, no, no, no. And he'd go, April 1st. I looked at him, ooh. Let's see, what seat? Third one, seat right there. Boom! There you go. You can all fool me. That's no big deal. But you can't fool God because He examines your heart. He knows everything about what's going on in your heart. All your thinking, all your motivations, all your actions, all your decisions. He knows it 100%. And He's examining it all the time. 24/7, He's examining your heart. That's what erauna'o is. Point two, the articular participle is substantival, and that means it functions as a noun, and therefore you correctly translate it, the one who searches. the one who examines, the one who investigates. Now, who is that one? Point three. The one doing the searching is God the Father. The one doing the searching is God the Father. Point four, God the Father is the one who keeps on searching, investigating. And what is he investigating? Our cardia. K-A-R-D-I-A. Now, last week I was using an illustration. I told you at Dallas Seminary I got called into the office, and the fellow was very concerned about me because I was single, I wasn't married. And I got off on that. I said, no problem, sir, no problem. I'm just waiting for God to bring the right woman at the right time. And I don't have the gift of celibacy. I mean, he said, oh, God, that's great, because there are a lot of problems that happen in churches when the pastor's not married, you know. And then he knew that they had a name for me and the other people that listened to Colonel Thames. We were called Themies Weenies. That's what they called us, Themies Weenies. And he knew I was a Themie Weenie. And he says, now, there's something else. I want you to know that you must not just have a head belief, but you must have a heart belief. And he grabbed this thing down here. And I looked at him, and I had to keep from bursting out laughing. I was going to go, I have a head belief and a heart belief. Everything's up here. This thing doesn't believe down here. But anyway, that's what they thought about Colonel Thame, and that's what they thought about all of us who listened to the Colonel. We didn't have a heart belief. Well, the heart is up here, and God the Father is examining your heart all the time, 24/7, examining your heart. He's examining heart. He knows exactly what each one of you are thinking, what all of your motivations are and what you do. He knows all your actions. He knows it inside and out. You can't fool God. He's nailed it. You can fool me, you can fool the pastor, you can fool others, but you cannot fool God. So, point four, God the Father is the one who keeps on searching, investigating the cardia, the heart. And we have it in the plural, the hearts of men. Point five, the omniscience of God has total knowledge of the specific situation, namely, the intense, undeserved suffering of the spiritually mature believer. The omniscience of God has total knowledge of the specific situation, in this context, the intense, undeserved suffering of the spiritually mature believer. Six, part of the great blessing of undeserved suffering to this winner believer is the intercessory ministry of God the Holy Spirit. And that intercessory ministry of God the Holy Spirit for the winner believer, that was understood by God the Father in eternity past, before we were ever even here. Seven, God the Father is always searching the hearts of all believers. God the Father is always searching the hearts of all believers. And there are many wonderful passages. Turn over to 1 Samuel chapter 16. 1 Samuel chapter 16. We'll start at verse 1, 1 Samuel 16, verse 1. The Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you mourn for Saul, since I have rejected him as king?" And Saul's a believer. "How long will you mourn for Saul, since I have rejected him as king over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and be on your way. I am sending you to Jesse of Bethlehem. I have chosen one of his sons to be king." And you know why he's chosen one of his sons to be king? Because the Lord has examined the hearts of all the Jewish people, the Israelites, and of the sons of Jesse. And he has lots of sons. There's one whose heart is filled with the Word of God. There's one whose heart has the most magnificent. He loves the Lord his God with all his heart, soul, mind, and strength. There's only one son. And this is the only one at this time in Israel. "I have chosen one of his sons to be king," because the father has examined all their hearts. Now go to verse 6. "So when they arrived, Samuel saw Eliab." Eliab, and Eliab was tall, dark, and handsome, military guy. Boy, he just knew that had to be the one, Eliab. "When they arrived, Samuel saw Eliab and thought, 'Surely,'" don't call me Shirley, you know, "'surely the Lord's anointed stands here before the Lord.' But the Lord said to Samuel, 'Do not consider his appearance or his height.'" Tall, dark, handsome, military man. "For I have rejected him." The Lord does not look at the things that man looks at. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. The heart. And there's only one heart there that loved the Lord Jesus Christ with all his heart, soul, mind, and strength. Only one. Only one heart. And he wasn't in the military. He was a shepherd out with the sheep. That's who it was. Verse 8. "Then Jesse called Abinadab." This must be the one. "And had him pass in front of Samuel. But Samuel said, 'The Lord has not chosen this one either.' Jesse then had Shammah pass by. But Samuel said, 'Nor has the Lord chosen this one.' Jesse had seven of his sons pass before Samuel. But Samuel said to him, 'The Lord has not chosen these.' So he asked Jesse, 'Are these all the sons you have?' 'No, they're still the youngest,' Jesse answered. 'But he's tending the sheep.' Samuel said, 'Send for him. We will not sit down until he arrived.' So he sent and had him brought in. He was ruddy." That means he had red hair. "With a fine appearance and handsome features. And then the Lord said, 'Rise and anoint him. He is the one.'" Why? Because he searched his heart. And the heart of David loved the Lord his God with all his heart, soul, mind, and strength. He's the one. So Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came upon David in power. And of course, David became the greatest king in Israel's history, King David. And he became a winner believer. And he received undeserved suffering for blessing. And it came from a place that he wouldn't expect, his own son, Absalom. The Absalom Revolution. And Absalom came to kill his father. David had to leave the palace and leave before taking. He'd leave with nothing. He had nothing but what he had with him. And his undeserved suffering came from his own son, Absalom. The Absalom Revolution. And Absalom made himself king. And then Absalom went out with the army to find David to kill him. Well, and Absalom was a believer, but he was a reversionistic believer. And he was used to provide undeserved suffering for David. David lost all the material things. All of those things were gone. He lost the palace, he lost the kingship, all that. But he passed his undeserved suffering for blessing and glorified God to the maximum. Absalom died the sin unto death. He was a believer. Absalom is in heaven, but he died the sin unto death. And then God brought David back, restored him as king, and he had greater blessings than he ever had before the undeserved suffering. Undeserved suffering of King David. Turn over to Hebrews 4. Hebrews chapter 4. And you've heard verse 12 many times. Hebrews 4, verse 12. For the word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, the joints and the marrow, and is able to judge, is a critic of the thoughts and motivations of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are open and laid bare to the eyes of him with whom we have to do. And then turn over to Psalm 33. Psalm 33. Verse 13, from heaven the Lord looks down and he sees all mankind. From his dwelling place he watches all who live on earth. He who forms the hearts of all, and who considers everything they do. Psalm 33:13-15. So, our verse, we haven't completed it yet. And he, God the Father, the one who keeps on searching, investigating the hearts. Then we'll have the second half, knoweth What is the mind of the Spirit? We'll start that in part two. We'll take a break. He'll give you a chance to go out and warm up because you're so cold. Warm up, and we'll have part two in a few.